What if you could travel to parallel worlds? The same year, the same Earth, only different dimensions. A world where the Russians rule America. Or where your dreams of being a superstar came true. Or where San Francisco was a maximum security prison. My friends and I found the gateway. Now the problem is finding a way back home.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of Circling the Vortex. First of all, that noisy git interrupting my intro, Curtis from a world in which nobody had any idea of what polite interaction was. How did that affect you, Curtis?
Shit got done.
And then I'd like to introduce our other co-host today, who is every episode less and less the Sliders virgin, and more and more a jaded traveller of interdimensional expertise like the rest of us, from a world in which, I don't know, picture frames ate people alive. How did that affect you?
That's horrible.
I mean, it's awful. I graduated and the photo ate my nan.
that is really unfortunate. That is very upsetting indeed. So this episode, as teased in the previous episode, we looked at episode, well, don't even ask me the numbers on these anymore. Now that we're on production order, let's just keep on trucking forward. We looked at the episode Prince of Wales. And this was an interesting one. I enjoyed this episode. So it actually continued directly from the end of the previous episode, didn't it, guys?
A little bit of tidal wave world.
Yeah, so it starts off with them on top of, I don't know what, a building of some sort, I think.
A tall building in San Francisco.
It looks like a knockoff Chrysler building.
Yeah, it really does. Point.
At one point, it's so obvious that they're stuck on the top of a kind of crappy-looking bit of set, that, and they're not on top of a building. The effects are really bad.
I think they're climbing on top, and it kind of, obviously with the water, it rocks to one side, and in the corner screen, you can see where the set has just lifted with it. It's that.
Yeah, it's not great. And also the fact that they're surrounded by water and nobody's even remotely wet.
No.
Like, nobody ever went in the water.
Yeah, we don't know how they got... Did they just run up the building while the water was coming?
I suppose. I mean, it's not really how tidal waves work. I mean, it's a tidal wave would flash through an area and then, you know, there'd be some leftover
like
water.
Hundreds of feet.
Hundreds of feet of water, yeah. Like, the ice caps all melted at once.
And there's a great CGI shark...
That doesn't really fit any anatomical sharks I've ever seen.
It just looks off, and I can't describe why.
Like, they tried to make a shark look scarier, as if that was needed.
It was so weird. It's like its fins had extra fins on them in this weird respect. And it had a horn. I noticed it had a horn. What is this?
Unicorn shark.
Yeah. I think it was designed by the same guy who created the spider wasp.
Yeah, they were like, right, we need a shark, but we need it looking weird. Maybe the implication is on that world that they
What we're learning is the visual effects department on Sliders are very excited to be creating creatures. Either they did very boring work previously, or they're a very new FX house that wants to show off their mad skills. And it's just
10 seconds to show off the shark. Go crazy.
To make it the best, most scary shark you've ever seen. Because Wade notices it and she's not happy. And then they have to wait a few minutes, don't they? They're still climbing and hanging on. And then they would have jumped through a portal and end up on what I think, obviously, guys, this should be our favourite ever universe, shouldn't it? Like, as subjects of the British, what is left of the British Empire... I think it's fair to say a world in which America is still a part of it, well, you couldn't go wrong with that, can you guys? I mean, you wouldn't have another totalitarian government, would you? I mean, that's just not going to happen in Sliders. Everything's always about democracy in Sliders.
Yeah, so the world they arrive in, they quickly realise there's British flags everywhere, red buses, typical sort of
Wade
buses.
Almost gets, that's the second time now Wade's almost been hit by a car.
She doesn't follow good safety.
In the Q episode, she has to get sort of manhandled out of the way of a lorry, and she almost here gets knocked over by Rolls.
And everyone is bowing to Arturo.
So, I mean, yeah, it's clearly a little bit English, shall we say, chaps? Eh? Should we do the rest of the podcast in this sort of clip
what,
British
what?
Accent? Yes, shall
we go?
I think we should. I'm going to anyway, even if you don't join me. And then, we find out people bowing and scraping to Arturo like he's an important person. And the driver of the Rolls gets out and he's like, oh, sir, I'm so sorry. Would you like the presidential suite?
The royal suite.
Of which there are no presidents. That doesn't make any sense, obviously. And so they take him to the royal suite, and they get him some food and a change of clothes, and Arturo is very happy.
Rembrandt complains that who'd eat a kidney pie? Oh.
Yeah, so they really try and like ham up this world as much as they can with as much Britishness as they can.
Anglicism.
They're all wearing three-piece suits and ties with a nice Windsor knot.
There's a lot of men with bowler hats around.
Bowler hats, newspaper under their arm with an umbrella.
Bear in mind, this is still meant to be in the 90s. It's all like 40s, 50s.
But let's be honest, chaps, it's the 90s, but in an idealised world in which everybody is very British stiff upper lip and everything is rather lovely.
The 40s, 50s and just thought, that's it, we've peaked. We'll just keep everything the same.
I mean, to be fair, without the American corruptive influence, I think it's fair to say we would have maybe continued in a proper British manner if we had still had an empire and controlled places like the United States without their awful, awful, awful fashion and disgusting ways.
So yeah, half the voices sounded exactly like this throughout the whole...
sounded like an American actor doing his best British impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it did indeed. Yep. And then we get introduced to further characters, don't we? They leave the hotel some severe thievery.
Well, she suggests, like, whoa, you're the sheriff, you might as well take something.
So we find out Arturo is the sheriff of this world. He's the sheriff of the American colonies, like the British American colonies or whatever it's called. Something like that.
The British States of America.
Yeah,
Sounds like they've got a nutty new flag that doesn't have the same colouring but has incorporated the Union flag in a rather fashionable way.
So he's like, oh, have a car made ready and fill the boot with cheeses and wine.
Your best fresh fruit. Don't forget
the fresh
fruit.
And we need a change of clothes. And give me all the money from the cash register.
And they're going through the woods, and then all of a sudden they're jagged.
Well, this is the Brito thing, of course, in the colonial British American Isles, as it were. Oakland is still a land of oak and has not been deforested for lots of horrible conurbations, and instead it's a game reserve for the prince. A much better use of the space, wouldn't you say? Yeah.
So they break down.
They break down and say, oh, typical British engineering, like, pull that one out.
As if the American engineering is known for being so excellent, hmm?
Yeah.
Don't knock a jack.
So they're all talking about the various revolutions, like, oh, you know, they lost the American Revolution, the French Revolution,
they speculate the Russian Revolution, and then Wade quips in with a, what about the sexual revolution? That's the only one that mattered to me.
Gives some eyes over to Quinn, so that's the first on our Wade Watch.
Ah, Wade Watch is back in action on this episode, eh, chaps?
A lot.
The thirst is strong once again.
She is one thirsty mofo in this episode. We've got 5 Wade Watches. That's quite a bit. So
first of all, we're driving through the country and the car breaks down.
Yep, car breaks down.
Which is terribly unfortunate and wouldn't happen to a Jaguar, as we are obviously very much aware. And then they come across a group of soldiers.
Yes.
The army appears.
But
they're the worst army extras I've ever seen in anything.
It's a Range Rover.
And 10 men.
10 guys with a few guns, a few rifles perhaps, no backpacks, no Bergens, no any form of patches, any form of identification as to the army unit regiment they're from.
They've got an army. They all have an army symbol, which is like a yellow flower. So I don't know if that's the daffodil, maybe the Wales connection somewhere.
Maybe it's the Royal Welsh Regiment, perhaps.
Or the Welsh daffodil.
Who knows? It's hard to say. It's rather thrown together and rather cheaply made, but there you go. They are there on a very nefarious mission.
I want to kill you so much with your voice right now.
Have I worn thin this bit yet? Okay.
We're getting there.
I was wondering what your capacity was, and the look in your eye there was you're going to launch yourself over this table and rip out my throat. So I thought now's the time to perhaps stop doing it. But I did keep that going for quite a while. You did. So I think that's fairly impressive. But yes, so the army guys show up, and they're on. They kind of tell Arturo what they're doing because they think he's this guy. He's this sheriff. And they explain to him that they're basically there to murder a dude. And Quinn being Quinn, we forgot an important point, didn't we, from the beginning. They established that when they went to this next world, they were not going to interfere. They were going to be tourists.
No interference.
They weren't going to get involved. They were just going to just wait out the week that they've got on the clock and be gone. But instead, you know, that would be a really boring episode. They just sat in a hotel room for a week. I don't think that would be very interesting to watch for us. So they interfere as they do best. And Quinn's like, nope, we have to go and help this person that they're going to go and try and murder. That's
Prince
not right.
Harold. Yeah, then we find out it's Prince Harold of the Americas, who has been slandered quite a bit in the press as well. He's like, was it? He likes women of the age of 18 and then 80.
Under 20. And over 60.
Well, at one point, what's really disturbing is that Wade, when she's first looking through the tabloid, goes, oh, he had an orgy with a teenager and then an 80-year-old. And I was like, well, a teenager can be... A teenager as a word definition there is a little bit worrying, because that's anything from 13 and up. So let's pray that's not what we're getting at with this plot point.
I thought he said a teenager and her gran.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. And at the same
gran.
Time.
Over 80-year-old.
Yeah, her gran.
80-year-old
well.
Grandmother. Okay. Yeah, so this guy's... Yeah, well, we find out why there are these headlines later on, don't we? And it kind of explains a lot of things, because thankfully it's not quite true. So they go to try and help this person who turns out to be the Prince and they prevent the assassination attempt. And then they bump into the Oakland Raiders, which is this recurring gag of, oh, they've got that name of that football team in America. How hilarious is that?
So, Oakland, who are you? Oakland Raiders?
Yes.
So,
yes. How did you know our name? kind of moment. And it's just
so
like,
yet again.
And they were, but they have an amazingly tied together fashion sense in their uniform. They have red berets and Union Jack scarves.
But they're not fighting for the Union Jack.
But a lot of them are British as well.
Yeah,
which
is weird.
They're all British because they're, I guess, because it's prime time, they can't properly swear. But because it's such an English thing, it's just bloody thrown in every sentence.
Bloody so the writers, it's like the writers looked up like an American to English sort of dictionary or thesaurus and just replaced every American cuss they could kind of would written into the script with a British one.
Dang it.
And it feels
bloody hell.
Bloody hell, chaps, that's terribly unfortunate. Things like that. Instead, and it's just it's really groany kind of lazy writing throughout. But it's actually also quite fun. I in general there's a greater sense of fun from this episode than there was the previous one, that's for sure.
Definitely.
And it is a distinctly different world, which, you know, not just in a...
I prefer this Resistance.
So is this your favourite Resistance so far?
Yeah, I mean, not just because of they're British, but we've got... I mean, a few of them are in berets and Frank Spencer coats lining the background. there's no guns in this one. There's bows and crossbows. I think one person in there has
a gun. Some handguns, but there's a lot of knives as well. A lot of knives. Like, somehow they knew we were going to have a problem with knife crime like 20 years before it became a big issue in the United Kingdom. So, yeah, they do a good job of... Then it's like, oh, the worst bit, guys, is it takes the American, Quinn, to convince them that the way of doing things would be to rob from the rich and give to the poor. And that's where it becomes a Robin Hood allegory. But it's saved because it has the most fun slow motion montage I've seen in some time. And I've been watching a lot of Baywatch recently.
It's not that pure slow motion. It's like that kind of choppy movement.
Yeah.
Very, very 90s, set to a
like early 2000s
track. I mean, it feels like it's part of like a NSYNC music video at certain points.
I get what you mean. Yeah, it's very like punk TV, MTV era. Yeah. Like very late 90s, early 2000s.
I liked it. It's really corny, but it's really good fun.
Oh, we're forgetting how he convinced them to do this by just throwing out generic motivational phrases.
Yeah, it's literally like he was reading off the bottom
of the
poster.
This isn't the real sheriff. It's him. Don't kill them. It's not what you can, what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And all of these kind of just tropey sentences. You
know, give a man a fish.
He does the fish one, which isn't even really applicable. He's not talking to starving people in Africa, so I'm not really sure what the relevance to that one is. But he's, he literally trots out give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Turn a man to fish, he eats for his life. And you're like, what are you talking about?
A lot of the people in it are like, what?
Yeah,
what?
There is a lot of like, but we're just going to get swept up because he's enthusiastic.
And they're like, yeah, we do.
Talking for the people, man.
So, yeah, the
power to the resistance.
He actually uses power to the people as well, which is amazing, yeah.
The resistance capture Prince Harold and Arturo, and they think he is the sheriff, but he's not. They find this out, and then that's when Quinn has to give this little speech.
All the while, it's important to point out, evil Arturo, who is the sheriff, is doing his best to on some of the best sort of like spin doctory kind of broadcast with canned applause and just talk, sort of like so on message. What's the name of his book?
Everything I Say Is Right.
And I love it.
Dude, the whole background is just shelves of his book. And cover forward.
I love it, the look, like the picture that they had taken for the face of that book, that sort of smug grin that he's pulling angle, like, know I'm right.
Don't question this face. Yeah. I'm smarter than you. You know it.
But yeah, very, like, it's a very spin doctor. The first woman who comes out with a question saying, oh, you know, like Prince Harold putting up all these taxes. Oh, he's awful. He's not thinking of the little man. And Arturo's like, yes, no, very, very good question, my lady.
You're not looking well. It's the stress of the job. You work too hard.
Yeah. Applause.
Thank you, Mrs. Miller.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. And then they go over to the other guy who I think they might have potentially made him ask the question on purpose because he's kind of a bit jittery and a bit kind of thing.
Yeah, and but then they do sort of like strong arm him off. The military come out. So he asks, he sort of criticises about the taxation stuff, doesn't he? And then they kind of put up the boo and hisses and stuff.
Like, people disagree.
Yeah, the people spoke for me.
And then he gets marched off with, like, to probably be shot. Yeah. I don't know. So basically the idea here is that what's established is that evil sheriff is plotting to assassinate Harry because... is it Henry or Harry?
Harold.
Harold, sorry.
Harold.
Plotting to assassinate Harold because he wants to take the throne. And he's the next in line if something happened to him. And basically he's been sort of... establishing him as this disgusting sex pervert, selfish, just gross human being that nobody likes and stuff. And he's basically spun him into this really negative light amongst the people. So this is all in sort of this establishing that, isn't it? And then he'll be brought in as a just new ruler. Even though, what did he say? He's got like a 2% tax cut from 76% to 74% of everything earned by all the subjects goes to his part, into his pockets. This is like, that's...
unreal.
That's kind of nuts.
So, the Resistance find out that this Arturo that they have there is not the sheriff when there's the live television broadcast. Yeah. And I think, is it at that point, does Prince Harold escape?
No, because he has his whole bonding thing with Wade.
He does.
She's like, oh, is it all true? You know, they say you're like having orgies while people starve and you're... playing with electric trains while everyone scrabbles for food. He's like, no, that's not true, but I do like trains.
He's basically played as this innocent, like this young sort of man who's been kept away from the realities of life in this country, and he's basically naive and innocent and like willing to do, wants to do the right thing. He's just never had the opportunity to, rather than stupid. They could have really easily gone down the stupid route with him, and instead it's more just, oh, I didn't know. I'll make things better then, y'all.
Is it this point that Wade starts getting really thirsty?
Thirsty for her.
There's a lot of thirst. Right, so there's thirst from the lady resistance leader towards Quinn. There's some reciprocated thirst there. He's definitely enjoying the Robin Hood role he's thrust into.
Oh, he's
into.
Loving it.
He's feeling like the big man on campus.
Little
and he's
John
getting some
is
of the action.
Very...
oh, yeah, you know it. So Wade's feeling like, you know, her thirst is now has no output. So she redirects the thirst towards the prince, who now
she
gets
kind
full
of
thirst.
Rejects him a little bit because he's straight up like
she's playing coy. You can
basically
tell.
Just like, yeah, you're gonna be my queen, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, it's timing. Oh, but I value your friendship.
After knowing you for 3 days, I really value you as a human being. Yeah. So he escapes. He escapes. And he goes and hangs out in the poor quarter with the hobos. And realising things are really bad, he then witnesses Quinn getting captured by the evil military.
Quinn went out to go and get him. And said, no, I don't want any help.
Yes. And then he ends up... Quinn ends up getting... Basically, he's going to get executed.
Yeah,
so we start moving into the third act here.
He gets captured.
And they hatch a typical Sliders-esque plan, which is we'll run in, sneak in, and
another take resistance. Over. Another resistance gets in.
Because before Harold, I guess, unescapes or comes back.
He returns, yeah.
One of them, she's got this plan. She's like, well, Vances will understand. We're going to put bombs everywhere that make the angels weep. And just...
So she basically spouts like Northern Ireland IRA-esque. Yeah, this is how we're going to have to do things. And it's like, if you think about when this came out, not long after the Troubles. So it was a bit like, ooh.
That's true. That is very true. I didn't think of that, actually.
Timing's a bit insensitive, perhaps, to be
because they mentioned Northern Ireland, didn't it?
Well, he actually...
Northern Ireland. What's going on there?
Yeah, they wouldn't have known about it. There was no Northern Ireland.
On their world, there was
no
Northern Ireland, it should be in... I found it interesting. There was that one point when Wade and Quinn were talking about saving Prince Harold. They're going to go and find him. And Quinn's like, I'm doing this alone. I'm going by myself. And that resistance leader, whoever she is in the background, sort of looking behind the corner, listening. So she's clearly spinning that plot already. So when he gets captured, she's like, okay, well, you know, he's captured.
Let's bomb some shit.
Let's use him as
she always wants. Her default is violence is the only response.
Yeah.
And basically, they've been trying to convince her that it isn't for the entirety of the episode. So I think, and they kind of win her over, don't they, by the end?
Yeah, well,
so.
Quinn wins her over.
Certainly does.
Okay, so there's that choppy montage when they're stealing stuff from the rich, which is amazing. So they're just running in cars, stealing handbags.
And it's all just like,
they're all like, ha, ha, ha.
No one gets hurt. It's fine.
Crossbows to people's faces.
Yeah.
They run into like a jewelry store, run out loads of like bags full of like jewels.
They might as well have
pearls.
Those like black bags, swag, you know, with the dollar swag. Signs on them, like. Yeah. Money.
Yeah. And then we see a really quick choppy montage of the resistance leader and Quinn making out, which there is a very annoyed Wade in the background looking very soul-y.
She looks, she's not
super
happy.
Pissed.
It was more of just a quick, passionate kiss than a make-out. But even for that, Wade's like, touch my man. she's not happy. So that's another problem, which we've talked about, you know, on one of the previous episodes, that Wade, once again, her character is seemingly defined by and reactionary to the actions of Quinn, rather than actually sort of making her own decisions for her own reasons due to her own character and plot. And it all seems to be because Quinn's getting some action. Oh, I'm going to go and get some action of my own. And it's just like, it's lazy. It's of the time period, I suppose, but it's a little bit frustrating. Yeah. Should we talk about the person in this episode that might as well have just been asleep for the whole thing?
He was. He was. I love it.
He was. Was he not available when they were shooting this episode? I mean, like, he's not there. He doesn't do anything. He has no story.
Some input
at the end, but we need to come to that at the end because that was great.
Okay, fair enough. So we're getting there anyway. So they're gonna hatch their plan to save Quinn from the evil sheriff. It's all very Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Not even a good Robin Hood, really. And so wow, wow, wow. We're getting to the end, and so they hatch their plan, and he's given a big. What was the reason Arturo's going on the broadcast to the execution? And they interrupt it, and they put on. They put on the prince instead.
Oh, we're forgetting after taking the best some notes. Line in the whole episode, and possibly even my favourite line so far.
Go on.
So, obviously, they know the resistance have Harold, and I think one of the soldiers or whichever, while sheriff's getting his
makeup
done.
Is it Stargate soldier?
I think so.
It's like,
yeah, it's that guy.
Won't they try something? He's like, never underestimate your opponent, which is why I have 100 marksmen on every roof.
Oh yeah, 100 marksmen on every
100
roof.
Marksmen.
It's a very important situation. It's a tiny bit crowded. There is some overcrowding on the marksman situation there. They're rammed in there pretty tight.
That must have been how they got past them. Because it's just so many. They weren't able to get a clean
and
shot.
And then it cuts to the resistance. Already in the TV.
Already in the TV. It's like, well, that was a lot of use.
Effective.
100 marksmen.
100
every
marksmen.
Roof.
Yeah, he spared no expenses on the military presence. It is the slightest way of saying you say something grandiose, but you don't show it.
Because if you say it
grandiose enough, it's like you don't need to show it. If you'd only said 10 marksmen, be like, I think we should see that. If he says 100 marksmen, you're like, oh, no, I get it. It's a lot of marksmen.
I get it, like they're everywhere.
I don't need to see that.
Just
it's
all
like,
those
it's
red dots.
It's heavy. Yeah, just loads of laser pointers. That's it. So he could have done it that way. But so now, have I missed anything else? We're in the studio. We're gonna pep talk for the prince, which is like we're gonna give him the Bill of Rights. Like, and yep. He's going for the Bill of Rights. And Rembrandt goes when he hits.
Number six. He's
no,
like,
No. You're skipping the important one.
Oh, am I?
Because Rembrandt wants to leave out the right to bear arms.
Oh, yeah.
That's
and
it.
And Arturo goes, we don't have time to change this. And this is like, just leave it out, man. Just leave it out.
Yeah.
You don't think you've made enough changes already? The point is that maybe that could have had some alterations. I mean, like, maybe a couple.
Yeah, like keep the
everyone is equal regardless of race, gender,
and music taste.
And taste in music.
And music taste. I love it. That's number six. So their Bill of Rights is so weird.
And especially when they get the end of it. At the end of the episode. And it's and who is it? And they
oh, so it's this whole thing. It's like every man is created equal.
Yeah.
And all this kind of spiel. Blah, 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 blah. And James Brown is the greatest person.
The godfather of soul.
And the godfather of soul. And they will look at each other and go, who the hell's James Brown?
It's pretty good. It's really good. It's good comedy in this episode. So he's giving his pep talk. They interrupt Arturo's execution broadcast with this. The broadcast of the prince coming on, go, he's the sheriff's been abusing his power. He's a scumbag. I'm taking over again. We're going to fix the whole country. Everything's going to be great. And gives this big long speech, obviously, as Quinn's trying to break out and rushing because the timer's counting down and they've got to go and slide, man, slide. And they get outside and they have some pretty heavy makeout stuff. Ooh. Goes down outside.
Wade Watch.
So, yeah.
Off the chart.
This one. There is some proper face-melting tongue action from Wade. Because I thought the Quinn resistance leader one... Did we ever get her name, by the way? Because if we did, I never...
It's resistance leader.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so she really... Much like in the previous episode when we met Fling, she took on her role very seriously to the point where she changed her name.
She's called Rebecca, but I think resistance leader,
just,
basically.
Just,
yeah,
that's yeah, okay. All, yeah. Resistance leader, yeah. She'd get on well with Fling. So they make out. It's fine. It's not exactly hot and steamy.
It's
clearly, the chemistry between the actors of Wade and the Prince was a bit steamy because there was some real face melting there.
Would you mind... Awfully, if you would stay and
be my
queen.
Oh!
I mean, as pickup lines go, I like the fact that he's gone grandiose and he can actually back it up.
Yeah, he's like,
I respect that.
Queen time, let's do it.
Let's like, you could be Queen Wade. You could be Queen Wade. That can happen.
Oh, no, that just sounds awful.
It doesn't sound great, does it? No.
Queen Wade.
It does sound very American.
But yeah, it's very much so. I think Wade looks over and sees Quinn.
Yeah,
the leader. So then she's like,
It's a bit like that. It's a bit like that almost awkward, like, high school dance moment, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, you look over and you see your ex making out, so you grab the nearest boy or girl and just make out with
them.
And then
stare
into each other's eyes while they're doing it, because it's all about that, and not really about the person they're making out with. And it's just like, the worst bit is, though, as Quinn jumps, he's so dismissive of Wade's making out. He literally does this hand gesture of, like, whatever. Like, he doesn't give a shit. And he's so sister-zoned her at this point. It's like, hey, not care who she's making out with.
It's beyond the sister zone. I'm going to call it the Wade zone. It's just another level.
So because of the ordering issues, obviously, the way we've watched these, the earlier episode we talked about where they obviously do make out and they do have a connection would have come after this. So it would have built to that sort of character development, which makes a lot more sense now, obviously. But it's still like, God, they need to give her character beats that are hers. And I hope, because we've had a lot of, we've had like Rembrandt focused stories, we've had a lot of Quinn focused stories and Arturo focused stories.
Arturo moments.
Yeah, and Arturo moments. Big moments. Not a lot, if you think back what we've seen. Have we seen any real stuff that's just been about Wade? I mean, even the Q episode, which was ostensibly a lot to do with her, wasn't really.
Well, she was ill.
Yeah, she was just ill and hallucinating. And I just feel like she gets really underserved so much in the story department. And they just need to let her do something by, you know, without, that's not just because of Quinn.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
It's very much she's coming just up. The girl.
What do you think of this episode? I like this episode.
It's pretty solid. Just a nice solid episode.
It was good. It was a good episode.
I think yet again, with what you were saying earlier with the whole production episode and airing thing, this makes a lot more sense with some small character moments, not necessarily the overarching sort of story and anything else they're doing, but just those little character moments, especially the Quinn and Wade stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much anything else. I mean, like you said, no Rembrandt.
I mean,
Arturo was just Arturo, which, yet again, another resistance, another evil Arturo, like in charge of the evil fascist government. It was very much.
Yeah, it was Mike the pilot, wasn't it? Where he was the Russian.
The Russian guy,
and then this one is like.
I do love how in every universe, at least one of them is someone hugely important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that ever stops happening.
Except Rembrandt has yet to be important in any other universe.
His most important thing was being dead.
In the last one, I suppose. I've got a vague memory. No spoilers, but I've got a vague memory. I swear there's a whole episode just based on some of Rembrandt's stuff, and that's quite a big one, so I guess we'll find out about that one.
That'll probably just annoy me. I hate him so much!
I think it's like a Crying Man thing.
Oh, like they were the number one biggest fan.
Spoilers,
ever.
Spoilers, come on.
Yeah, just guessing.
Well, we've had, it was a big zero on the gate watch today.
Yeah, big zero.
Yeah, I feel like did we make maybe a bigger deal out of this than it actually was? Because I really remember the gate being so important, but like they barely touched on it.
I'm going to keep on it.
Yeah, I'm keep monitoring the gate watch.
Do you have the cabbie back?
No cabbie. No cab.
Well, I tell you what, guys, we've only got, I think, two more episodes.
Really?
Of the season. It's only 10 episodes. So is that right? Am I counting that right? Yeah, no, six, no, eight, no. Maybe four more episodes? Could be, might be eight episodes. Okay. I looked on Wikipedia earlier. I thought we only had two. Talk about some stuff, I'm going to check.
Do you know how to count?
No. I think that's what is learned from my poor organisation of this entire podcast. And my terrible recording last time. No, I don't know how to do any of this. So
I want the cabbie back. I was really hoping for an English version of him.
Oh yeah,
such Hello. A chance.
Hello, yes.
And we could have Renfrew go, oh, it's you again.
He could have been driving the car that hit Wade.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, was it?
No,
I don't think it. No, you know, because it was the hotel owner. It's just
But
such potential.
Yeah, this episode was basically them just going like, how can we put Robin Hood into Sliders? How can we take that story and just adapt it to Sliders? Oh, we've gone to a world where, you know, evil sheriff.
There are four more episodes. So we have done six. There are four more episodes. I understand why I got confused now, because the next two we are watching are also in reverse order, which is hilarious. So they were in the production order, and their airing order was exactly opposite. So it was 7 and 8, and they were actually 8 and 7. So, but the 9 and 10th episode, the final two episodes of the season, are actually in that order.
I'm worried we're going to start off next episode with the cliffhanger for the next one.
Anything's possible with this show, man. Who knows? It's like every time we record and watch one of these, it's another adventure through dimensions.
Oh, I love it.
No, it was a good one. I really enjoyed that episode a lot.
It's a solid one.
It's a cool concept. It's the kind of thing I would like to see blown out and done in modern day with a bit more exploration into the concept and stuff. If they were getting back to Sliders, which I know people are trying to make happen potentially, so that would be cool. A good one to look at. I think it's a cool really concept. Cool. And once again, there's just enough in there, like in the previous episode, to hint at some thought actually went into, you know, what would happen in the geopolitical sense of, you know, around these events. You know, why would we have monarchies being dominant, not democracy. Why? What would cause that? What would happen if one thing, you know, affects another, you know, like we had in the previous episode with the conflict in Australia. So there is enough thought that goes into these. They don't just throw them together without actual kind of logic for the main plots. We get the thrown together ones in the epilogue and the prologue bits, which are always hilarious.
Yeah.
There's a big wave. Ice. It's really cold. Swarm of things. It's just like,
I would really like to go back to the Spider-Wasp world, because that seems like such an action-packed.
Just that group of basically like Colonial Marines fighting Spider-Wasp.
See? Sold.
There you go.
And then you find out Quinn's like their version of Ripley or something, or Wade.
She's the resistance leader in the end.
Always. Always the resistance leader, every time. So that was, what episode was that? Episode 5?
Yeah.
Episode 5 of Circle of Vortex. I hope you enjoyed that one. I hope you enjoyed my English accent for a good 5, 6, 7 minutes there, my posh English accent.
Don't ever do that
if
again.
If you request it, if enough people ask me, I'm happy to try and do an entire episode with that accent.
No. VO. I'm getting rid of that one.
Welcome.
You bring that on there. You want that? Nathan wants Kurt's a hard one.
I want to see how long Ben can last before he gets sick of it.
I could never. Never. It's okay. True English way of speaking.
The next time they go to Britain, then you can do it.
I doubt they ever will. Probably not ever going to do that again, but that's fine. So you can find us, you can subscribe on iTunes for Circling the Vortex. You can also subscribe, I don't know, can you subscribe? Follow, I think it is, on Spotify. Please do that if you're listening there. If you're not listening on those places, you can find us on YouTube and give us a like and subscribe and follow us on Twitter. At Experience Kills. Obviously, Experience Kills does a whole bunch of other stuff as well. We do lots of video game content and things like that. So please check that out. If you're interested in that kind of thing, I would think there's some crossover between Sliders fans and video games, potentially. Guys, anybody want to follow you anywhere? Are you guys available anywhere? I never ask that. You know, if you want to pimp your stuff.
Just don't follow me home, that's all.
Yeah, same. Please.
Unless it's Jerry O'Connell, and then you don't mind.
Yeah, Jerry, follow us. Get in contact with us, please.
I think that'd be even worse if I found Jerry O'Connell was following me home one day.
I don't know. What about John Rhys Davies?
That'd be so cool.
I think I could get away with that, but just looking over your shoulder and just see Jerry O'Connell walking towards you would just scare me.
I don't know. I like the idea of John Rhys Davies dressed as a tree walking towards me.
I'll throw this out there. If anybody's got any suggestions for any sort of Sliders related shenanigans or content or things you want us to, if you got any questions, if you got us anything you want us to do, like a Sliders activity,
drinking games, Sliders drinking game ideas,
we're willing to try that. It probably will make getting through the episodes even more tolerable. To be honest, I'm saying that we're having a great time, so they are certainly entertaining without alcohol. So, you know, if you guys have got any of those suggestions, we're happy to take them.
A shot every time the remote's on screen.
Yeah, every time somebody mentions a timer or every time Wade's extra thirsty, take
them.
drink to her thirst. Yeah, I think that makes the most sense, actually. Maybe we should just do that. So I guess that brings us to the end, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of Circling the Vortex.
Can't wait.
Bye everyone.
Bye. Love you.
What if you could travel to parallel worlds? The same year, the same Earth, only different dimensions. A world where the Russians rule America. Or where your dreams of being a superstar came true. Or where San Francisco was a maximum security prison. My friends and I found the gateway. Now the problem is finding a way back home.